Hey there, ladies. Welcome back to Being Eve. So today is part two of my conversation with Christina Price, author of Saved by Choice. If you had not had an opportunity to listen to part one, I highly recommend that you do so. Christina shares so much that will bless you. All right, so now into part two. Christina begins by sharing the three things she has learned throughout her life experience and journey as a Christian. So without further ado, ladies, let's jump right into it. Welcome to Being Eve. I'm your host, Casey Alexis, and this podcast is designed for the everyday woman who seeks to do more than just survive. You want to thrive. The goal is to inspire, empower, and encourage you as you find commonalities within my story and the stories of some extraordinary guests. Join me as we dive into this brand new episode.
Three things. Okay, so definitely God must be the priority in all areas of our lives. You know, as a Christian, learning to submit and fully trust, I think, was the most pivotal step for me. And I just think once we keep him first and be that check-in and that center, everything else kind of falls into place of where it needs to be. So that's absolutely number one. I would also say retiring my representative, trying to act like I have it all together. Like that girl is, she no longer exists. Like, I don't care to be seen as this perfect person. I am okay in saying that I have flaws. I love to learn. And if I don't know something, I'm attracted to people who want to teach versus condemn me. So I just think we just need realness. I feel like the more people try to be real, but it's just layered in fakeness. And how do you heal from that? You can't, because you're so busy lying and having lie on top of lie of who you are. Right. So just, let's just try to show our true selves. And that's how we connect to people. Because once you start, you know, saying, hey, I went through this, you find another person who's also went through that. And it just, that's how we're able to build a community and help each other. I think the last one would be building a community. We're not meant to live this life alone. And I truly underestimated the power of that, the power of friendship and the power of mentorship. Because again, you know, you grew up in keeping these silos and not wanting to share your experiences or show any weaknesses by saying you need help or raising your hand for help. But that multi-generational support, that system that I've created, has been so pivotal for me, because I'm able to lean on different people at different times of their lives and learn and pick certain gems out. And you can't do that if you keep everything to yourself. And you can't do that if you live in this island, because we don't live on an island. We need to support each other and be there for each other as much as we can.
I think those three things are really amazing, and they are foundational. I think those three things are probably some of the things people have the hardest time. I tell you, especially nowadays, where the facade and, you know, not being vulnerable and social media, there's so many things that feed that is so hard sometimes for people to kind of be their most vulnerable selves and truly build that real community when now you have text messaging and things like that. Sometimes you don't, and people are just living so fast now, like really slowing down to have a conversation is just, wow. So thank you so much for honing in those three things, because I do think those are so important and foundational to a great relationship, a great relationship with God, first and foremost, and great relationships all around. So thank you. All right. So now we're at the part where God tells you to write this book. What was that experience like for you?
Oh my gosh. I didn't want to do it. I'm just going to be honest. I did not want to do it. I am such a behind the scenes type of person. I can, you know, I'm very operational. I love to support people. So I can definitely, if you have a project, I'll support you. I'll stand in the sidelines and I'll cheer you on. But to put me into the spotlight, it's just so uncomfortable for me. Then to write, I'm like, I'm not a writer. Like, do you have the right person? Like, are you sure? And it's like, I'm going back and forth and just like almost negotiating with God. And it's like so clear, write a book. It needs to be a book. It needs to be a book. So I just started slowly. I just started writing down my personal experiences and then kind of developed it into some sort of a guide that, hey, if a new believer or someone who recommitted picked up this book, what are like the key highlights that they would need to know who God is? And there's so much information out there. Like we live in a world where, you know, information is at our fingertips. Mm-hmm. And it's so crucial to find the right information because we're covered with a lot of opinion. And I just wanted it to be something that was centered on God, but also centered on our choice in every aspect that we make as it relates to God. Because the power of choice, I feel like it's something that we kind of take for granted. You say it all the time, and I always quote you, you know, God is not in the business of creating robots. You know, he's created us to have our own power of choice. And when things go in a certain way, I think we need to reflect back to understand what is that choice that we made to get us here. Mm. So it just kind of all came together with the book and pulling it all together. And it has been a very interesting, enlightening, scary journey. But at the same time, to kind of sit back now that it's over, to see how God has moved and how God has literally wrote through me and aligns me to people to help me, to keep me going. It's like no one can tell me that God isn't real because I've literally seen him move in such crazy ways in my life.
You know, it's so funny when God calls, he never calls. He never calls the people that love the limelight. Like, you know,
right?
I was in the background. You know, David was tending sheep. Moses had a speech impediment. He never calls the likely.
Yep.
And it's so funny how, you know, you're just minding your business, doing your thing. And he's like, no, I want you to write a book.
Right. And, you know, the story of Moses in Exodus 4, that's the first thing that the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit was the fact that example that you just gave. It's like Moses, he didn't want to speak in front of the people. He didn't want to go to Pharaoh. He did not want to be any part of where God wanted him to be.
Not at all.
And,
yeah.
You know, God, at that point, he complained to God. And then God finally said, okay, let's raise up Aaron. Like Aaron will be your talking point. But I kind of said, you know, what if I don't want there to be an Aaron? Like, I know that there's probably another person who can write this book, but he's asking me to do it. And at that point, the challenge of it all kind of became a thrill because now I'm like, I want to see what's on the other side of this obedience. What's on the other side of me pushing myself past my comfort zone in doing what God has called me to do and not just being complacent, not just kind of letting my fears and my insecurities take place. So it's like I said, it was a very interesting experience for me, but it's also a proud moment that I've actually accomplished it. And now I'm so excited to see like where God is going to take it and what's going to happen next.
In that statement that you just made, one of the things that I want to highlight, what's on the other side of this obedience?
Yeah.
And a lot of times we don't see things that way. Like there is something on the other side of your obedience. That's deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
That's deliverance from family. That's deliverance for people attached to you. When Moses was obedient, generations upon generations were delivered because of Moses' obedience. When God calls us to do the things that are so scary, like,
oh,
no!
Gosh. Yeah,
can
no.
you imagine what we're holding up because of our disobedience?
Yeah, it's scary. And even if you think about the things you've kind of passed on, those inklings that you've had in your spirit, and you're just like, no, it's just countless blessings and countless, to your point of just people being delivered or generations to come of being saved and just a different path for them could all be in the choice that we make today. It's powerful. Don't get me wrong, like I said, it's scary. I was
Absolutely.
not on board with any of this, and you have been such a great resource and a friend in helping talk me off of many a ledges, but it's just you got to keep going, you got to keep pushing and just trust God to just do the rest.
Wow. I mean, I hope that those of you who are tuned in from this portion of our conversation, whatever God is telling you to do, it's scary because it would not be scary if it wasn't God telling you to do it, right? I mean,
Agree.
because he's
Agree.
God, he's not going to tell you to do anything that's in your comfort zone. Like, let's get it
Right.
right? He's not going to tell you to do something that he knows that you are going to be able to do in your own strength. So, if whatever he's been telling you to do, what he told you to do last year, he told you to do something yesterday, and you have not done it. We're encouraging you right now to do it. No matter
Step into
how
it.
big it looks, do it. He will
Yep.
give you the ability. He will connect you to the right people, the resources, everything that you need. He's already placed inside of you. And I'm sure Christina could attest to that.
Amen. That is a word in itself. Amen. Yes.
Right? When you started writing, did you think that you were a writer?
No, not in the slightest. No, not at all. But it's crazy how you just kind of submit to something, and if you really just let go of that control, God will work through you, and he's done it with me, so I feel like I'm a testament to that, and I'll
Amen.
just keep it going.
But perfection can be an issue. Did you ever battle with perfection with this thing that God called you to do?
Oh yeah. Just I think I've battled with perfection for as long as I can remember, and it's something that I definitely work with God to keep me delivered from, because it's not something I think once I'm cured, I'm cured. It's something that if you're not aware of, it creeps up on you, and if the enemy knows that that is your weakness, if he will find a way to keep bringing it back up. So with the book, of course, you look around and you compare yourself to other, at least I did. I compared myself to everyone who is a writer, who is, and when I say writer, not even a book, someone on social media, they wrote a profound post. I'm like, look, they're better than me. So it's just like, you kind of just, you need to just block out the world and just stay honed in on what God gave you to do. And I think the most important thing for me was finding my identity, because finding scriptures that solidified my identity so that when I feel insecure or I feel like I can't do something, it's things that I can lean on to know that I was purposely made, that I know that I am a child of God, and I don't need to hear the noise because he solidified who I am, and he has given me this gift to do this assignment that he's called me for. So perfection is, it's something that I think, like I said, if we don't really become aware of it and be intentional not to fall into it, we can become a victim of it.
And what does that look like?
The insecurities compare. I think the biggest thing for me would be the comparison, right? You see someone who's doing something a little bit better than you blame yourself, or you just try to talk yourself out of it, or just make yourself feel like you're not good enough. I think what I try to tell myself, it's not always about perfection, it's about progress. Just keep progressing day by day, keep getting better day by day. Just take it all one day at a time, and not don't think that you all have to have it all together all the time. Because if you do, in my eyes, that means you don't need God. So if you feel like you're perfect and you don't have to stand on anything, then there's no need for God. Where I know I need God, therefore I'm not perfect.
Did you procrastinate at all this project because of perfection?
Yeah, God told me to write this book back in 2020. I finished the book, to be honest. This happened right during COVID, at the beginning of COVID. So at that time, we had nowhere to go, nothing to do. I was in the house. I think I wrote the book within 3 or 4 months, and I just sat on it. I found every reason not to tell people, only because I didn't want them to ask, and I didn't want to have to share it. I was too afraid to hear their opinion of it. And I just kept dragging my feet on trying to find an editor, trying to figure out what the next steps are, and just kind of drug it out for as long as I possibly could. But as I look back in retrospect, I just wasted time. It's like I just wasted time for something that I knew I had to do and think about. And I just think about what are the blessings that I could have missed in that procrastination.
Wow. That's important. That right there. Wow. You don't know, right?
You don't know.
You're battling all of this emotion and fear, and yeah, you just don't know what you're losing out on. And that's the scary part. It's scary going forward and doing something so amazing, but the scary part is also never experiencing the goodness of God on a whole different level because of the procrastination.
Right.
Yeah, that's scary too. That's probably even more scary than the actual doing.
You're right.
Oh my goodness. So with this amazing book that you put together, I know a lot of it came from your own experiences, right? Things that you wish people told you, things that you wish you knew. And I'm so glad that God called you to put this together. I had the privilege and the honor to read it. And I remember when I was reading it, I was like, man, I wish I had this book when I first got saved, because I would have made less mistakes. Because I was so unbalanced back then, you know, I was just like, everything was the devil.
Right.
And so I was like, man, I wish I had this book, because then I would have been a bit more balanced. And I do believe, even if you've been a believer for many years, that this book is definitely a book that you should read also, because it keeps you grounded. You can get lost in your faith sometimes, right? Things can get really tough in life. And then you need to go back to the basics. You need to go back to your first love. And this is one of those books that I highly, highly, highly recommend at any stage of your walk, because it's just that good. So what I want you to do now, Christine, is just share with the people some core things that you want them to walk away with after they read this book.
Some core things. I think one would be to understand your power of choice in every situation that you face. And even as it relates to God, you know, understanding that God is love and that he wants the absolute best for us. It also comes back to us to want to choose to live in that love. I think for me, just the experiences that I went through in life, the world kind of shaped what love should feel like. Therefore, when I really submitted to God and tried to understand what that love felt for me, it was so hard for me to accept, because I had so much baggage that I needed to deal with. So really choosing to live in that love, really choosing to worship him with your life. And again, not only just worshiping him through song and dance, but worshiping him with your body, worshiping him with our finances, worshiping him with the way that we treat people. It's all a choice. We have a choice to do these things or not. Strengthening our prayer life. I underestimated the power of prayer until I really learned what it meant. And I think I was a bit intimidated. Not I think, I know I was a bit intimidated by just the thought of prayer, because I'm an introvert, to be honest. I'm an introvert. I'm pretty shy. So kind of just speaking aloud and speaking amongst people, it can be a bit intimidating. And looking at others who pray so well and they just have all the words to say, it's just like, where are you getting all this stuff from? But I think developing a relationship with God and knowing that he's not looking for me to put these perfect words together in this, like, you know, great order or to speak in a certain way. He just wants me to talk to him. He just wants me to come to him with any part of my troubles. Even if I'm happy, if I've made a mistake, he just wants to be me to be that comfortable to say, okay, God, here's what it is. Also understanding that we have a real live devil that is, you know, working against us. He is strategic. He is sitting somewhere kind of just looking at our behaviors and taking into account what we're doing to kind of just lead us into destruction. And a lot of times, you know, we get mad at people and the situation and how we're being treated. But at the same time, we're not realizing that there's a bigger spiritual realm here that we're fighting against. And I think we need to respect it in a sense that it's real, it's alive, it's powerful. But as Christians, we have the authority to go against it. And not just kind of letting life happen and letting the world just happen to us. And I think the last core thing I would be for us to own our light, meaning, you know, once you're saved, you are a new creation in Christ and you want to live differently. You want to live for God. And in doing so, you know, once you say that salvation prayer, like, it doesn't change everything that you've been, how you've been living. Like, it doesn't change your identity, your environment, rather. It doesn't change your friends. It doesn't change your family. Like, all of that stays the same. And you have to learn how to maneuver in that old environment and really think about what do you want to grow out of? What do you want to continue to live in? And how do you do that? And for me, you know, I'm the youngest of seven kids. Out of the seven of us, I'm the only one who has accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. I am in like an uphill battle with my brothers and sisters, and I need to learn how to maneuver in that to where I'm not ashamed of who I am, but I need to show them God so that they can ultimately find him for themselves. And it's hard. It's really hard in trying to be kind of that light in a dark room. You can definitely feel intimidated. It can feel lonely, but you kind of have to really be strengthened and solidified in your identity in Christ and allow him to be your strength to maneuver in that situation. So again, the book is just really all of my experiences in growing, but it hits on just fundamental aspects of who God is so that you can always fall back on them and try to figure out how to practically and realistically put them into practice into your life.
And I love that the most. That's pretty much where most of us try to find that fine balance, like you talked about with your siblings, right? Being the person of faith, but also going to family events.
Right.
By interacting with them on a daily. And so you have to be able in order to figure that out. And that's probably one of the toughest parts I know for me was figuring that out. Not calling everybody and everything the devil, right?
True. Right. Right.
Being able to be the light and not condemning people, because Christ did not come here to condemn, but to give life. And so how can I do that when I go into a room full of unbelievers? That's in the workplace, right?
Everywhere.
That's at home. Yep. That's everywhere. Yep. So this book is absolutely needed. If you're struggling with that, if you're young in the faith, or even if you've been in the faith for quite some time and you're like, oh, I ain't got no friends, you know?
Right.
All these things that we battle with our faith, trying to maneuver this thing called life, trying to be in the world, but not of the world. I'm so excited for its release, because I know it's going to be a life changer, a relationship changer. I know it's going to be a generational curse breaker. I just can't wait for it. So tell everyone, when will it be out? Where can we get access to it?
So the book will be released on September 22nd, 2021, and it'll be available on all major book outlets, primarily Amazon. You'll have an ebook version, an Audible version, and a hard copy version.
Now we're at the final question, and this is a question that I ask every one of my guests. Tell me one thing you can find in common with Eve.
Eve. So before I start, I definitely want to thank you for humanizing the character of Eve, you know, on this platform and within your book, because,
oh, thank you,
you know, I was set on heading straight over to Eve once I got to heaven and just be like, how good was that apple, sis? Because it couldn't have been that good. But now I do see her in a different light. And I think what I found in common with her the most is that I underestimated my impact as a woman. Mm. You know, in your book, I just love how you broke down the gender roles, where man was maintain, which is to cause and enable, and the woman is to sustain, which is to strengthen and support. And, you know, as a sustainer, I have the power to make or break a situation, just like Eve. And her influence in Adam's life is what led him to eat the apple. You know, she gave him the apple, even when God said, don't eat this. As his wife, he took it and he trusted her and he ate it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in that moment, that's when I realized our commonality and understood the weight of that decision. I must accept my identity in God. And once I do that, then I can maximize my influence.
Wow, that was so good, Christina. Thank you so much for just spending this afternoon with me. Tell the ladies also, where can they find you? Where can they connect with you?
Yeah, so I am on Instagram and on Facebook, and you can find me at Christina Price.
All right. All right, folks, we have had a wonderful hour with Christina Price. Definitely connect with her. I'll have all her information in the show notes.
Thank you so much, Casey. This is amazing.
Hey, ladies, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back after this message. Hey girl, have you gotten your copy of Being Eve in Adam's World? No? Well, what are you waiting for? This book is a revelatory interpretation of the very first woman to ever walk the face of the earth. Although Eve's story is very brief, there is so much to be learned from her. Heck, the podcast was named after her. When you open up the very first chapter of this book, you will begin to travel through Eve's journey, a voyage of discovery that reveals the life of every woman in some way, shape, or form. At the end of each chapter, you will also find lessons from Eve to you. Each lesson derived from her personal experiences will be a guiding light on how to thrive in Adam's world. So get your copy of Being Eve in Adam's World today. You'll find the link in the show notes. So ladies, what did you think about this amazing series? Make sure to drop me a DM or message me and let me know. I would love to hear your feedback and your thoughts on this amazing guest. I hope you all took great notes and grabbed as many heart gems as possible so that it will not just last you for today, but for a lifetime as you emerge into the woman that God has created you to be. Well, until next time, ladies, I will see you next week. Well, ladies, thank you for tuning in. I hope this episode blessed you as much as it did me. Before we depart, a quick reminder to head on over to the show notes where you will find all the info to keep in contact with Being Eve and to learn more about our guest. Make sure to let them know Being Eve sent you. Last but certainly not least, ladies, don't forget to review, share, and subscribe. This is your opportunity to let the whole world know where we gather for absolutely free. As always, ladies, please continue to love, live, and thrive without losing the authentic you.